this week I was, as I was saying, when I looked up and realized that Mr. Evan has me busy this month, I began to start putting together themes and topics for this coming year. For myself first, and then to take a look at these topics to see what God wants me to share with all of you. And there was a tribute to the men and women who are serving on the battlefields. There was a tribute. There was a musical performance and a tribute to those men and women in our military. Out of all the songs that I heard, all the songs that were presented, very moving, very inspiring. And all of them were for the encouragement of our military force out there and letting them know that, hey, they're not forgotten, they're loved, they're missed. And it was a very moving tribute. There was one song that kind of really caught me. The song was titled, If Tomorrow Never Comes. Now, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard the song before. But the song was written by Garth Brooks back in 1988. And knowing that, I'm kind of curious as to why 1988, I did not hear that song. I mean, I like all kind of music. But I never heard that song before. Well, this song was presented in the presentation as a tribute to the men and the women who were fighting on the ground, in the air, who were overseas protecting our country. It was a tribute to them. If Tomorrow Never Comes, before they presented the piece, two of the military personnel who were performing in this tribute stopped to take a moment to explain to everyone who were listening about what happens to a man and a woman that are there on the ground fighting for our country before they sang this piece. And after they made their comments, it made the song a little bit more moving. If Tomorrow Never Comes, they shared that on that battlefield, each soldier takes into account of a lot of things during that day. One of the things that they don't stop to think about, but is evident in some respects, is the fact that tomorrow, for many of them, may never come. And it's not just that tomorrow may not come, the very next moment of their life could be ended as a result of them on that battlefield serving and protecting our country. And now, in realizing this and knowing this, the enemy is busy working very hard to destroy. And so here we are out there on that battlefield looking to destroy the enemy. We are always looking for that weakness, that weak moment. We're looking for that one opportunity to penetrate that infantry. And so the enemy is doing the same thing. Now the song, If Tomorrow Never Comes, I just want to read to you the first verse. He says, sometimes at night I lay awake and I watch her sleeping. Now when I first heard this, I thought this was about a father and his daughter. That was my first take on it. It was about a father and the daughter. But when Garth Brooks was asked why he wrote this song, he said, the song is about a man who wants to make for sure that his wife knows that if anything ever happens to him, that he loved her. He did not want her to ever wonder or worry or question his love for her. And that's what the song was all about. Sometimes late at night, I lay awake. I watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams. So I turned out the lights and I laid there in the dark. And the thought crosses my mind. If I never wake up in the morning, would she ever doubt the way I feel about her in my heart? If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she is loved and my only one. If my time on earth were through and she must face this world without me, is the love that I gave to her in the past going to be enough for her to last? If tomorrow never comes, because I've lost so many loved ones in my life who never knew how much I loved them, now I live with regrets that my true feelings for them will never be revealed. If tomorrow never comes. So when they presented the actions and the duties of our military personnel on the ground, that is an interesting question. We never thought about that. And so when they use this song by Garth Brooks as a tribute to present to the men and the women who are on the ground and who are here, even in the U.S., even struggling and fighting for their lives, if tomorrow never comes. Many of them probably did not have the opportunity to tell someone that they love that they really love them, because tomorrow didn't come for them. Some of them probably wrote letters that they had started, never finished, and their loved ones will never receive those letters because they went unfinished. But they didn't have that moment and that opportunity to let someone know that they truly loved them. Those men and women, those that made it home, some made it home with their bodies shattered. Others made it home with their minds shattered. The war may be over, but the battle is yet to be won for many of them. Now, when they came off the planes and they came to the parade grounds as a unit to go and be presented back to our country, to our people, to their families, they marched in proudly on those parade grounds. They marched back. They looked strong. They looked great. Family members stood around with tears and excitement at the same time, ready to receive their loved ones who survived the war and made it back home. And as we stand and we look and we observe, we see strength in numbers. We see a strong force in front of us. But family, what happens to that individual when they're no longer a part of that unit? What's happening in their lives? And so today, I want to take a look and compare the life of these soldiers to our lives. When we are together here on the Sabbath, or for the Winter Family Weekend, or for the Feast of Tabernacles, or for the Holy Days, when we are together, we're strong. We encourage each other. We support each other. But family, when we are apart, what's really going on? What's happening? You know, the messages last week and last weekend were for us to arm ourselves up with the whole armor of God. From the Bible study that started last Friday night, a week ago, to the sermon on the Sabbath, to the messages in the seminars, it was loud and clear that we are to arm ourselves up. But yet, what happens to you and to me? Well, kind of the same things that happen to these men and women. There is a disorder that many try to claim didn't exist with those men and women whose minds were shattered when they came home from the military. They said that these men and women suffered from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. What is post-traumatic stress? And why do they call it that? And what are these men and women really suffering from? They may have made it home from the war physically intact, but mentally distraught. So what is post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD? So from the VA Support Center and veterans on the symptoms of PTSD, they write, "You feel on edge. Nightmares keep coming back. Sudden noises make you jump. You're staying at home more and more. Could you have post-traumatic stress disorder? If you have experienced severe trauma or a life-threatening event, whether during a time of war or in a non-combat situation, you may develop symptoms of post-traumatic stress, or what is commonly known as PTSD. Maybe during the event, you felt as if your life or the lives of others were in danger, or that you had no control over what is happening. While in the military, you may have witnessed people being injured, dying, and even killed, or you may have experienced physical harm yourself. Some of the most common symptoms for PTSD include recurring memories or nightmares of the event, sleeplessness, loss of interest, and feelings of numbness, anger or irritability, or being constantly on guard. There are many ways PTSD can impact the everyday life. Sometimes these symptoms don't surface for months or even years after the event has occurred, or after returning from deployment. They may also come and they also may go. If these problems persist or disrupting their lives daily, they may have PTSD. Some factors can increase the likelihood of a traumatic event leading up to PTSD. Such events are the intensity of the trauma, being hurt, losing someone that you were close to, being physically close to the traumatic event, feeling you were not in control, having a lack of support after the event. You see, these things that these men and women witnessed while on the battleground, they saw these things, but they never left their mind. Those things that you see, you can't erase those memories, especially if it's very traumatic. And that's what PTSD is all about. Something that has shocked the memory, shocked the brain, and yet they can't break away from it. But yet, they do say that there is treatment for PTSD. There are two types of treatment. One is the effectiveness of counseling, and the second is medication. Professional therapy or counseling can help you understand your thoughts and reactions and help you learn techniques to cope with challenging situations. Research has shown that several specific types of counseling can be very effective in treating PTSD. Medication can also be used to help reduce tension, irritability, and to improve one's sleep. But the problem is, if these men and women do not reach out and ask for help, then you will never know that they're suffering. During this tribute, a famous actor or actress spoke up and said that she remembers when she was 12 years old. She remembers when her father came home from the war, her mother at night waking her father up in his sleep because he was reliving some traumatic event over and over. And each night, she would hear her mother trying to wake him up, to calm him down, to let him know, hey, you're home. Everything's okay. You're home. We're with you. And she recounted the fact that PTSD is real. It's real. Well, family, for some of those men, even after coming home, and women, some of them wish tomorrow would not come. instead of continuing to live with this traumatic event. They can't get rid of it. They can't erase it, but they can with help. They must reach out and ask for help. The help is there for them. How does this relate in our world, in our lives? Many of us have experienced some type of trauma, something that has hit us hard, and it just sometimes it's difficult to let it go. And we keep reliving or bringing this thing up, and yet causing us, family, to suffer greatly. This morning, family, let's begin to examine today our spiritual health. If tomorrow never comes for you and me, what is the state of our spiritual health? We talk about our physical health, but what about our spiritual health? How healthy are we today? The title for the sermon is, Am I Spiritually Fit Today If Tomorrow Never Comes? How will he find us? What will be the state of our physical condition? As I mentioned, together, family, we show strength when we're here on the Sabbath, when we're at the Feast of Tabernacles, when we're together as a unit. We are strong. We encourage each other. We support one another. But yet, our enemy is looking for a way to penetrate that armor. He's looking for a way to get in. He heard the messages. He hears that God is encouraging and inspiring his people to arm themselves up and put on that armor. Put on the whole armor and to keep that armor on. Don't leave without having that armor on. But family, is that armor weighing you down? Is it weighing you down to the point where you begin to drop the bars? Satan is looking for the ways to penetrate that armor to get to you and to me. If he can separate us, you know, this is why the shepherd will go after that one sheep that leaves the fold. He'll leave the 99 and go after that one. Because if that one stays out there long enough, he knows that that one will be devoured. But bring him back in with a fold, and there is strength within that fold. But when we're alone, there are things that happen that many of us don't know what's going on in that personal life. Some of us, when we go home, there might be that little dark place that we go to. It's not a good place to be. That dark place is a place where Satan hopes that you will go and you will stay, because there is where he will get you. That's where he's going to capture you. That's where he hopes to destroy you. We can't afford to go to that dark place. So family, time for a spiritual checkup. We go to the doctor, we ask the doctor, hey, give me a workover. Let me know how I'm doing. So that doc is probing, prying, poking, tugging, going in your ear, out your mouth, up your nose. You know, he's looking all over you to find out what's going on with you. He's taking pictures of you. He's scanning you so that we can come back with an end result. We want the result to be, hey, you're in good condition. You're in good shape. That's great. What about our spiritual health? So let's do a spiritual checkup. Because just like in the military, the minds of those men and women have been traumatized because of events that have taken place in their lives. We also have gone through the same type of trauma due to the things that have happened to us. And so the question I have for each one of us today is this. In our spiritual checkup, are we suffering from a spiritual condition called ADSD. ADSD. It stands for a deficiency in our spiritual development. ADSD. A deficiency in our spiritual development. What are some of the signs of ADSD? Depression, anxiety caused by stress and trials, withdrawn, pushing others away, going back into that dark place, making excuses, being worn down, restless, being fearful, and sin. These are some of the signs of ADSD. Depression, anxiety caused by stress and trials, withdrawn, pushing others away, going back into that dark place, making excuses, being worn down and restless, fearful, and sin. Now, what is the root cause for ADSD? The root cause for ADSD is a vitamin deficiency in vitamins P, B, F, and H. I know you have those vitamins in your cabinets, don't you? Vitamins P, B, F, and H. A deficiency in vitamin P, prayer. A deficiency in vitamin B, Bible study. A deficiency in vitamin F, faith. And a deficiency in vitamin H, God's Holy Spirit. Satan is looking for a way to penetrate the armor. If we, family, go home and we're alone and we are weakened because of the fact that we are deficient, we are spiritually deficient in our spiritual development because of things that have taken place in our lives. We have to find a way to get out of this. Now, we can't do it on our own, because if we could do it on our own, we wouldn't find ourselves in that little dark place. We'd find ourselves happy. We'd find ourselves growing. But family, let's admit and be honest with ourselves. During this spiritual checkup today, what kind of grade do you think you're going to be able to give yourselves in your deficiency in prayer, Bible study, faith, and using God's Holy Spirit? Do we need improvement? Or do we think, well, I think I'm doing great? Well, I hope that we all are doing great, family, but the truth of the matter is, we're not. When you think of the overall health of the congregation, when you look at the people, and I look at each one of you, I can't tell even behind your mask. I can't tell. I look at those beautiful eyes. You know, that's one thing about the mask. They have really brought out the beauty in the eyes of the ladies in the church. You know, you guys can wear a mask all day long with me. I don't care. But your eyes tell the story. When you smile, your eyes just light up. Now, I don't know about us guys. I don't look at the guys' eyes. So I'll give you a report on that later. I can't tell you. But it's interesting that, you know, in all things, there's still beauty. So how do we fix this, family? Because we've got to do this. How do we fix it? How do we become better in staying on top of taking our daily vitamins? Well, let's start with prayer. How many times a day do you find yourself praying? And when I say praying, family, I'm talking about having that heart-to-heart conversation with God about the things that are going on in your life. And I'm talking about rejoicing before God, giving Him thanks and honor and praise, and letting God know how much we love Him and how much we love Jesus Christ for the sacrifice that they both made for you and for me. If tomorrow never comes, will God know how much we really love him? Will he know in our actions daily? Or will he have to wonder? Will he have to go back and take inventory of how many times we said to him, Father, I love you. You have brought me through a lot of things. And maybe I have not given the proper time to you to let you know how appreciative I am of you and your love for me. You could have allowed a lot of different things to happen, but you didn't. You have saved me, even from myself. Have we prayed in that prayer to let the Father know that you love him? You know, I know each one of you sitting here today, it just brightens up the moment when you get a text message from someone that says, hey, I love you. Doesn't matter all the other stuff that they said before that part. You know me, I just go down to the bottom. My grandkids, I see the message, I go to the bottom. I love you, Pappy. That's all I need to hear. I'm good. Now, what were you talking about? How often do we let God know that we love him? How often are we praying? You know, it's very important, family, that we stay in prayer to our Father. Join me I had a psalm down here of David's. I think it's Psalm 55. I believe it's Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and let's go to verse 1. Let's make sure that's the right psalm. But here is David praying to God, and he's talking about those that he is associated with, those who are around him. And he finds out, you know, how treacherous these individuals are. And these individuals were his close friends. These individuals were companions of his. These individuals were individuals that he trusted. But yet, you know, family, we have to make for sure that in our prayers to God, we ask for that protection, that guidance, and that direction. Psalm 55, let's go to verse 1. He says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. In the beginning here, he is saying to God, listen, I need you to hear me, and I need your help. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because the voice of the enemy, because of the opposition of the wicked, the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. You know, here's his feelings of anxiety because of what is happening around him and what is happening to him. And so many times in our lives, there have been people that we have trusted and believed in, and yet they meant us no good. They meant to harm us. And yet here's David talking about this. In verse 5, he says, fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Have you ever felt like just something is just laying real heavy on you? You can't figure out what it is, and yet it's something close. You know, there are individuals, we've talked about this before, that we should not have in our lives and we shouldn't call friends. But yet, some kind of way, these people love to be around God's people. And yet, the adversary will use these people to bring us down and to destroy us. Verse 6, so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, David is praying, for I have seen violence and strife in the city today. Day and night they go around me. They go around it. And the walls, iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in the midst. There's a lot going on, David is crying out to God. Oppression, deceit, do not depart from the streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. This is not an enemy. David said, because if it was, then I could bear this. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. These are individuals that were very close to him, that were doing this evil to him. He says, we took sweet counsel together, and we walked to the house of God in the throne. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is their dwellings. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. David is saying, okay, I know where I've gone wrong, but here's the thing. I know where my help is going to come from. So verse 17, he says, evening and morning and noon, I will pray aloud. I will pray aloud. Not once a day, not once a week, but evening, morning, and noon, I'm going to lift up my voice to you, Father, and I'm going to cry aloud to you. Why? Because David knows God, and David loves God. You don't have to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. You can just kind of jot that one down. But 1 Thessalonians 5, we're reminded. Paul reminds us. He says that we are to rejoice always. When we are praying to God, it doesn't always have to be a plea to God. Let's pray to God and rejoice, giving him thanks and praise. And he says, pray without ceasing. And in everything, he says, give thanks. So as we have that communication with the Father, give thanks to the Father for his love, his mercy, his care for you and for me. We can dwell on the negative things, and we can dwell on those things that have hurt us, and we can dwell on those things that we have seen in our lives that trouble us all day long and go nowhere. And we leave ourselves spiritually deficient. We leave ourselves spiritually deficient. And Satan is looking for that deficiency. He's trying to find a way to penetrate that armor. Family. We cannot be spiritually deficient. We have to be strong. We have to rejoice, as Paul says, pray without ceasing and give him thanks. Because he said, this is the will of God in Christ for you. Our prayer life, family, is very important. Once a week doesn't cut it. Once a month doesn't cut it. Our prayer life must be daily. And David says, he cries out morning, noon, and in the evening time. Are we crying out? Are we having a conversation? Are we talking to God morning, noon, and evening? Because if we're not, family, we are spiritually deficient in our prayer life. We are spiritually deficient in our prayer life. And we are struggling with a spiritual condition called ADSD. A deficiency in our spiritual development. Let's go to Bible study. Let's go to Bible study. Need improvement? Or are we doing okay? How often, family, are we having Bible study? One of the things that I learned through the 10 months of training over at the Bible Center was this. The FI students have God's word in their face 6 hours a day. It's 100% Bible. There's no recess. There's no gym. There's no music class during the day. It's all Bible. So one of the things that I realized as I went through that 10-month program was the fact that I've got God in my face 6 hours a day. I'm hearing from him. I'm being taught things about him. And then on the Sabbath, got him for an hour and a half. How much Bible study, family, are we doing? You see, I think what God is doing today with the church and looking around and seeing all the things that are going on, I think he's shaking us up. I think he is really trying to wake us up. Because, family, we are deficient in our spiritual development. And if we are not at least in that Bible once or twice a day, family, how do we think that we're going to be able to teach others God's way? We have to be growing ourselves. We have to understand the things that God has for us. And in that Bible study, just like going to FI, that Bible study allows God to talk to you and to me. And it's not so much us talking to him, but yet him talking to you and to me. If tomorrow never comes for you and me, will God know that we loved him through our Bible study, through listening to him? 2 Timothy 2. Let's go over there, please. 2 Timothy 2. Our Bible study, that communication between God and us is very important. Second Timothy 2, let's start in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others." You see, in our calling, family, and in our development daily, it is for the purpose of us being able to teach others. He says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, we have to go through some things. We're going to have to suffer some things. But those things that we go through, God is with us. He is with us, and he is not setting us up for failure. He is trying to use these events in our lives to strengthen us, not to beat us down, not to pull us down, and not to destroy us, so that we, family, later can be of help to someone else. We've been there. You know, a little dark place I talked about earlier? I know about that little dark place. I've been there. I don't like it. I didn't like it. And I realized I couldn't stay there, because the adversary wants you to stay put, because that's where he wants to destroy you and me. Verse 4, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may be pleased with him who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in an athlete, in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." You know, you and me, we've got to follow the rules here. So we're going to have to go through some things, and we're going to have to endure some things. But the rule is, you and I can't quit. We can't give up. Christ called you and me to endure until the end. Endure until the end. Yes, we're going to suffer for a moment, but it is not to destroy us. It's for the purpose of strengthening us. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of his crops. "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." In each category here, whether it's athletics or whether it's a soldier on the battlefield, there are rules that you must follow in order to be able to stand in that moment that you need to stand. Verse 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead in according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains." It's Paul talking here. "But the word of God is not chained." Verse 10, "Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul is talking about
He's telling Timothy
the things that he has endured and for the purpose that he endured these things. You and I must also endure some difficult moments, but family, we can't stay there. We've got to rise up. And I think what God is doing today with his people is he's trying to get our attention to let us know we have got to endure these moments because tougher times are on their way. They're coming. And if we cannot, family, endure these moments, then where will we be when the real trouble hits us? Verse 11, for if we die with him, we shall live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. This is what this purpose is all about for you and me. Reigning with Jesus Christ. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. No matter what. If we drop the ball, he's not going to drop the ball on you and me. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. And he cannot deny himself. Remind them of verse 14 of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. Don't argue with people over the word, because it will not profit you anything, to the ruin of the hearers, he says. He says, be diligent, be strong, be knowledgeable, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, through this Bible study, we begin to learn and understand what the rules are and what God wants us to do. He says, shun profane and idle babbling. And sometimes you get caught up with the babbling from others because they have their views and their ideas about what God is doing today or what's happening in the world today, telling us don't get caught up with that. For there will increase more and more ungodliness. Verse 23, just drop down. He says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. And I think many of us have got ourselves involved in situations where it turned out to be a debate when it comes to God's word. God says, no. See, this is not what this Bible study is all about. Us growing in the word of God is not so that we can go and take that word and beat it over someone's head. He says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and they do. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. We have to learn how to back off and back down. That's your view. That's your belief. That's not what I believe. So I'm going to respectfully back off to agree to disagree. This is what we're called to do. Not get back there and engage in the battle with them because you're going to lose. We don't know who looks more foolish, you or them. But 9 times out of 10, it's us that looks foolish. He says, we're to be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That Bible study, family, it's very, very important. We cannot be deficient in our Bible study. Even if we just take a scripture or part of a chapter during our day at work, you take a break. Let's remove ourselves from the norm and go to the things that are not normal. And that is you and me going and finding a nice little corner or go outside or go sit in our car or do whatever so that we can have a moment with God, letting God speak to us. You don't have to turn to 2 Timothy 3 and 16, but we're reminded, Paul says, that all scripture is given for inspiration by God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction, and for righteousness. If we are not engaged in a daily Bible study, not a weekly, not a monthly, a daily Bible study where God is speaking to us, then family, we are deficient. We have a deficiency in our spiritual development. We can't go and stay in that dark place. We've got to grow. We've got to keep moving forward. Let's go to the next one. Faith. What does our spiritual health look like when it comes to our faith? What does it look like? Are we deficient in our faith with God? Hebrews 11, verse 6, what does it tell us? It says, you know, without faith it's impossible for us to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How strong is our faith today? How strong is our faith? Do we have faith enough in God to believe and to know that he will guide and direct our paths? Sometimes we question the path that God may have us on, but yet it is still the direction that God wants us to take. How do I know this? If no other door has opened, but this one here has opened for you and for me. And I think I've shared the story with all of you. Years past, when I was looking for a job, it's 21 years old. No other door was open, but one door opened. And I entered that door. And that was not a pretty door, but yet it was a door that God opened. It was a door that God wanted me to enter. And the lessons that I have learned over the years from entering that door has helped me to have the understanding that I have today. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We cannot doubt God. Satan wants us to doubt God. He wants us to stay in that state of being where we're questioning everything about God. You know, just like a little child. Well, why can I do this? Well, why did you say that? How do I know that what you're telling me is right? I want to talk to my daddy. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You know, and I'm quite sure many of you, if you had a little child that talked that way to you, maybe the child will be taking a nap for a week or two. I know when I was a little kid, if I talked to my grandmother that way, I'd be taking a long nap. Let's take a look at David. Let's take a look and see what happened when David doubted God. Now, David, of all people, you know, who trusted God and believed in God, now David kind of had a loss of faith. Let's go over to Chronicles. First Chronicles. We're going to go over here and we're going to see where David got himself in trouble. First Chronicles 21. First Chronicles chapter 21. We read here in verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Now, why did David do this? When God is leading them, why is David now doubting God? Why is he concerned about the number that is going to be on that battlefield? Joab answered, my Lord, make his people 100 times more than they are. But my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause to the guilt of Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and he went throughout all of Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum, the number of the people to David. He said the number was 1,100,000 men who drew a sword. Who counted all these people? I mean, it's a lot of people. Did he have help? You know, 1,100,000 men who drew the sword. And Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin. Now, God was very displeased with David. Verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Family, when we begin to doubt God, we do something very, very foolish. We are doubting the one who is leading, guiding, and directing our paths on a daily basis. We are lacking his ability. You know, in our mind, we think maybe he's deficient. He is not. Remember, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to remember that in all of our doings. You know, also, we're told that we are to resist the devil. David also tells us in Psalms 35 and verse 13, Psalm 69 and verse 10. You don't have to turn there. David talks about humbling ourselves before God. And we must continually humble ourselves before God. Because God is the one who has called us, you and me, out of this world. He's preparing us for a great work. And family, we must trust and believe that he is going to fulfill everything, everything that he has promised us. We might be faithless, but he remains faithful. James 4, verses 7 through 10. James 4, verse 7 through 10, we're reminded we are to submit to God and resist the devil. And when we resist the devil, we see that he will flee from us. We are to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you and to me. How do we do this? Well, we do this, family, through fasting. When we fast, we draw ourselves to God. How often do we fast? Once a year? If we're fasting only once a year, then we are spiritually deficient. Family, we must fast often, drawing ourselves near to God, humbling ourselves before God. This is why our faith fails us at times, because we're resisting God. And God says, no, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's take a look at God's Holy Spirit. Family, we cannot forget that when we were baptized, we were given a great gift. We were given a great gift. Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38, we're reminded. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit which guides and directs you and me. It's a gift that God has given to us. Are we using that gift? Jot down 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. He says, for in this gift God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You see, we cannot afford, family, to go to that little dark place. And we can't afford to stay there. We must pray and ask God to deliver us out of that. Because if we don't, then we'll find ourselves caught up in the snares and the traps of our adversary. Satan wants to separate you and me. When we're alone, this is when he wants to attack the greatest, because of the fact that he knows what we're doing, how we're doing. He knows what our thoughts are. Family, we cannot continue to live our lives with ADSD. We have to grow and continue to grow. He said he did not give us that spirit of fear, but he gave us power and love and a sound mind. Are we using the gift that the Father has given to us? And we're also reminded in Galatians 5 and verse 22 and verses 23, the fruits of that Holy Spirit. Are we bearing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit? If tomorrow doesn't come for you and for me, will God know how much we love him through our actions and our obedience and our relationship with him? Will he know? The song was about a loved one. Will the loved one know how much I love them? But family, I'm asking us today, If tomorrow doesn't come for you and for me, will God know how much we loved him? Will he know? He will know, family, through our actions. Webster defines the word deficiency as a shortage, something that is lacking, something that is failing, something that has a shortcoming. Deficiency. Family, we as God's people cannot suffer from ADSD. And if we are, I just gave us the tools in which we need to move forward, to rise up. You don't have to write down James 4 and verse 13, but we are reminded, don't boast about tomorrow, because you do not know what will happen tomorrow. And we don't. So what you and I have is this moment right now, today. What are we going to do with this moment today? Are we going to evaluate ourselves and give ourselves a good spiritual checkup? And in this checkup, are we going to be honest with ourselves and admit that there are some deficiencies in our spiritual development? And if we find that there are deficiencies in our spiritual development, family, it is time to grow. Stop letting the adversary beat you down. Stop going to that dark place. It's time, family, to come back. When we are spiritually healthy, we stand strong, connected with God, as well as with each other. So when we're in the privacy of our home and we're alone, if we're spiritually healthy, we are going to stand strong. God's people cannot be struggling with ADSD, a deficiency in our spiritual development, because God has given us a clear focus of our future and the purpose for our lives as he continues to empower us to move forward, pressing towards his kingdom. He has empowered you and me. He didn't give us that spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. If tomorrow never comes, I hope that we are found spiritually healthy today, and that our examples show our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ, how much we love them. Should someone decide to make a tribute of you and me, I hope the song that they select is the one that says that we are God's people.